All right. So, Elohot Tzli, Rav Yehuda Bered, Rav Yishim Ben Pasi. All right. He's talking now about Cheresh, a person who is deaf. Hamedaber, right? He can speak, the Yenin Shemir, but he cannot hear. Okay? In other words, he has the ability to speak, but he cannot hear.
Okay, that's interesting.
Right?
Okay,
sure. So he says, Terem Lechatchila. He can give Truma to begin with. In other words, even though there are supposed to be declarations and everything else in connection with Truma, but still, he may do so. So, Mani, who is the authority behind that, and say, E Rabbi Yehuda, do you have it in Lechatchila? No. Now, if we say that it's Rabbi Yehuda, then the parallel to what we just said before about the Katan is the Eved, if he did it, in, okay. But Lechatchila, no. Right? But E Rabbi Yossi, and if we say Rabbi Yossi, who above we said that the Eved Namilo, that if he did it, it's no good, it's altogether invalid, and so on. So Elamai, so we have to come to the conclusion that it's Rabbi Yehuda, all right? It's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and he agrees that even to begin with, he can do it as the Mishnah that we just quoted said. So they go to another one. All right, how about another case where we learned, Lo Yivorech Odom Birkas HaMozim B'Libo, that a person should not recite the Birkas HaMozim, you know, benching after a meal, in his heart, without what? Not saying it out loud, obvious, right? Yim Berach, and if he did recite it, you know, without saying the words, actually, just thinking them, Yatsa, right? He has fulfilled the obligation. So, Mani, who is the authority who would sanction that? And incidentally, it's accepted as halacha that, you know, if you didn't do it, you know, out loud, but at least you do it, period, right? And then you'd be Yotze. So who's the authority? Says, no Rabbi Yehuda. Couldn't be Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But no Rabbi Yossi. Right? And couldn't be Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yehuda, if it were Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, then he would say, afilu chatchila. To begin with, it should be done, right? But Rabbi Yehuda lays the stress not upon the chatchila, but upon what? Upon the b'yevet, right? If it's done. Rabbi Yossi. And if it's Rabbi Yossi, he says, I feel the other domino. He never accepts it, you know, he says it's no good. You have to do it all over again, okay? So he says, the Imam Rabbi Yehuda, so actually it is the Pidu Yehuda, not Pidu Chathila, and we have to say, this is so even to begin with, but no kasha. And it's not a contradiction. Why? Because Hod the Day and Hod the Rabbi. Because when we have two conflicting opinions about Rabbi Yehuda, does he say, Lechathila, it's no good, but the evidence is okay? Or do we say, Lechatchila, it's good, and obviously the evidence is also good? So we have to say the one would represent its own opinion, and another one would represent the opinion of his teacher. Okay? I think I'll stop at this point, and we'll continue from the top of Daf Chav next week in Yitzhak Shah. Okay? Right. So now we have reached
28.
We just did a couple of lines on 28.
Okay, first of all, I want to thank Obed Shalom that I made it through the past couple of weeks and we were able to get together again tonight. And hopefully I'll continue to make progress.
June right. July 3rd.
It's already July 3rd, Erev, the 4th of July tonight in the year 2002.
Right.
We are now on the top of Daf Chof and Megillah, Amid Aleph. Okay, so as we saw, there was a question. What started the whole argument was, if you remember, whether a person, for example, is permitted to bench without saying the words audibly, right?
Without saying what?
Without saying the words audibly.
Audibly, oh, I see.
As
that,
it
yeah.
says, well, he benches in his heart, whether that's permissible or not. And we paskin that to begin with, definitely you should not. That you should say words, okay? But, nevertheless, you know, if... So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so he says, it's Yoyotzi, okay? According to Rabbi Meir, more reasoning, he says Yoyotzi, because he bases it upon the argument about the Shema Yisrael, which we learned a long time ago in Brachas. Namely, if it says Shema Yisrael, which means literally hear or listen to Israel, right? So are you Yotze if you don't cause your ears to hear what it is that you were saying? In other words, when you say something, you have to hear it. Remember, I made a remark, you know, that there's a good moral lesson in that, too. That whatever you say, you should think, you know, you should listen to yourself when you talk.
How do you account for the Shemon Esrei? You're supposed to say that.
And you, with your lips moving.
With your lips.
With your lips moving. We're following the example of Chana, you know, that the mother is moving, right?
So how does that doesn't apply here?
Well, tefillah is one thing, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, the Shema Yisrael is a different thing. Well, Rabbi Meir, I wanted to say, Rabbi Meir, based upon the fact he says, you know, it's b'chol levavcha, with all your heart. In other words, what part of the anatomy is he placing the stress upon? Upon the heart, okay? So the heart doesn't actually have to hear words coming from the mouth. The heart has to feel these things. This is the basic idea, okay? Now, this related, of course, what started off actually even before that was the previous Mishnah, you know, the one that is still being analyzed, that somebody who is a cheresh, right, somebody who is deaf and dumb, right? But the question is it simply somebody who can't speak, or is it somebody who's deaf and dumb? You know, he cannot read the Megillah. In order to, of course, to enable others, you know, to be yotze, it's what how we paskin, because if he can't hear it himself, you know, but nevertheless, a cheresh who is permitted, who can speak, even if he can't hear it, but other people can hear. So in that particular case, you know, then there are already grounds, you know, to say that he would, you know, he'd be able to, as we say, to motzi others. In other words, to enable others to fulfill the mitzvah. Okay? And of course.
But since he doesn't hear it, he's not yotze.
No, he is yotze.
If he doesn't hear it,
he can't, he's not yotze if somebody else is reading it. You understand what I'm saying?
No, but he's
if somebody else reads it, he can't hear it.
He's a person who is, let's say he can speak, but he can't hear.
Right.
And he reads Megillah.
Right.
For other people to hear.
Yeah.
Okay? So they are still listening to him. And
right.
But he's not
right.
Yotze because he hasn't heard it.
Well, that's the argument between Rabbi Wood and Rabbi Mayer. That's part of the argument.
I'm going to get in the middle.
All
right, right.
Okay.
So, as we see, you know, that, and they're, you know, this is a point of discussion, but in general, we want to be lenient in this matter, rather than being like Rabbi Yossi, who was very, very adamant against it. He was mocked in this case, okay? All right. So, we're now on the second line. Yeah. It said, remember, the last words that we heard in the tape is that, you know, that Hodaday, the Hodarabe, that maybe one expression where they quote Rabbi Yehuda is his own opinion, and on the other hand, maybe it is that of his teacher, okay? The Tanya, and now they quote a Baraisa, which, wherein we find out that he's quoting somebody. He says, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Bishop Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, right? Rabbi Yehuda said the name Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah. HaKorei Eshema, somebody who's Leyan's Krishma, right? He reads the Shema. Zorech Sheyashmia Liyosno, right? He has to cause his ear to hear what it is he is saying, Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Shema Yisrael, Adeshem Elikeinu, Adeshem Echad. Okay? And how does he interpret the word Shema? He says, Shema means Hashma Liyosnecha Mashat Amotzi Mepicha. In other words, let your ears hear what it is that you utter from your mouth. Yeah. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, Homer, right, he says, Asher anorchim tzavcha yom alubavecha, right? These are the commands which I command thee this day upon your heart. So it's achar kavanas halev, right? Hein hein hadvorim. So, the things, the important things are, you know, what your own heart, you know, feels about it. How how you derive the devotion, you know, at the time when you recite the Shema. So that is in your heart. Okay. So they say, Hashto the Os is the Hochi. All right, arguing already about this. So Afilo Tema Rabbi Yehuda ke Rabbi Ismila. So we may say that maybe Rabbi Yehuda is stuck in agreement with his own teacher, not opposed to it. But well, we had a previous one where they quoted about if a person who is deaf or who is chayvish, can he be Torim Truma? In other words, can he give the offering of the Truma, you know, that which has to be given to a kohen, to make a declaration at that time, you know, the line hereby.
If he's deaf.
Right. Particularly, or if he can, but it's the same idea, you know, whether he can talk, he can hear, whatever it may be, but he has to make an oral declaration when he is Torah to show, you know, that he's performing a mitzvah for the sake of the mitzvah, right? So, is he Yotze with it or not? Rabbi Huda says yes, and Rabbi Meir said no. Or the other way around, maybe Rabbi Meir says, yes, he is Yotze, because in his heart he wants to say it, right, you understand? But, Rabbi Yehuda would say no. So anyway, the issue is not really resolved right here, but that's all right. It's more important in this particular case to simply understand, you know, what is the basis of the discussion? Why do they feel the way they do?
This also has to do with the benching also, I suppose,
It started with the, they brought in also, you know, the truma after the benching. First they mentioned the benching, okay? Because, obviously, what is the parallelism? The parallelism is the fact, you know, that a person who cannot speak, cannot hear, and so on, so how could he read the Megillah, right? So they bring in this case, again, another case. When you bench and you don't say the words, it's as if what? It's as if you're deaf and dumb, you understand? So
right.
Would you be Yotze with it or not? I mean, you see,
so
you know,
that's
where the parallel is, right? But of course, the psak is, you know, that we should. There's no question we should move our lips, we should say the words and so on. Doesn't mean you have to shout about it. but you should. However, if you didn't, I mean, sometimes a person is in a situation where he feels embarrassed. I'm thinking, you know, let's say you're what I mean is, for example, let's say you find yourself you stop on the road at McDonald's, okay, you eat your own food, you bench, but you don't want to call attention to the fact that you're benching or something like that, you understand? So you say it very softly to yourself, there are situations.
You may have a flower thing in the house and you're ready to order two so we can all bench together.
Or you're at work, you know, you're sitting in the
If you're in a place where it's kosher, that's not the problem.
Dr. Kaysman,
yes. All right, we are now finally up to, if you go down, roughly it's about 10, 11 lines. It's a Rabbi Yehuda Masha Bekotten. It's the next thing we're going to discuss. All right, now the last part of the Mishnah, if you remember, the Mishnah included what? It included Chayresh, which was discussed, Shaita, which they don't bother to discuss, because obviously if a person is an imbecile or something like that, and in that particular case, the Thomas Reines would say, you know, nothing to discuss.
I was told
it said, or a katan.
Katan, underage
child, right. Right. So, after it said that, then the next thing it said is, Rabbi Yehuda Machshe Bekotten. In the Mishnah. That was the concluding words of the preceding Mishnah.
of Kusher.
Right, right.
Kusher?
Yeah. Yeah, right. In other words,
not right yet or whatever.
No. What they're saying is that Rabbi Yehuda declares that if it happened to be a minor who read the Megillah, so you would still be yotze with it. Okay. Mashi says he permits it. Okay. Permits it in this particular case. Okay. Mashi declares it kosher. That's the point.
Yeah,
that's what Mashi means. He declares it kosher.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Today they use the mashkir. I mean, as machshir, excuse me. So, you know, the person, for example, who gives supervision, the rabbi who under whose supervision or something like that, you know, something like that. Right. But machshir, right. The original meaning is, you know, to prepare it or something like that.
Right,
okay.
Yeah,
prepare the ground. Right. Omer Rav Yehuda. So now, oh, here comes the story. Rabbi Yehuda said, Koton Hoyisi, says, when I was a child, right, the Korisi he ho, the Malam and Rabbi Taufin, the Korisi, you have to realize, the language of the Talmud, what we would call Labin Aleph and Labin Hay, which in biblical Hebrew, you know, are two different things. But there's a tendency for them, they simply coalesce into one. So in other words, this is the reason why we would normally say about the Hebrew korosi or korosiho, okay? But here he's saying the korisiho, because as I said, the aleph and the hay became interchangeable at that particular point, okay? So I read it. Lamala literally means above Rabbi Taufin, but it means in the presence of Rabbi Taufin, who's a Canaan Belod, and also the sages who were there in the city of Lod. Okay? Yeah, Lod, of course, was an ancient center of Jewish learning, you know, after the destruction of
Beis
HaMikdash.
What did they have that in the Haggadah?
There it says, yeah, but it says it was in the Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak. Lod, Lod, Lod. We pronounce it.
At Lod.
Yeah, right.
In Lod.
Yeah. It was a center of Jewish learning after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And of course, there was a Jewish community in Lod to this very day, too. Lod, Rablo, and so on.
Yeah, it's big. We got lost there once.
Well, that's awesome. Okay. All right, we'll pass on that one today.
Come along.
All right. So, at any rate, he says, what do you mean? He says, well, Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, you guys, you come along and you say that a cotton did not yotze, you're right, you don't fulfill the obligation of a young kid, you know, reads the Megillah for you. He says, when I was, you know, a youngster, and I was there in the yeshiva with Rabbi Taufin and the sages and the Lord, he says, I read the Torah, I read the Megillah for them. So Abu Lo, so the sages now who were discussing this mission said to him, Ein mevin ra'ayim min ha'kotah. He says, you don't bring any kind of proof, so to speak, of the fact when
I'm
you
sorry.
Were not, right.
You don't, what?
You do not bring any proof, ra'ayah, or ra'ayah. We always say ra'ayah.
Ra'ayah, no, two different words.
Ra'ayah means literally sight.
Sees.
Yeah.
Right. But ra'ayah means, you know, that the proof. A text proof or something like that.
Is that true that the Alafa does not attach any credence to the observations of a minor?
Well, that already is a complicated business. Question is over here, of course, whether, you know, as a child he was Yotze, the elders, so they say, what you did is not proof that this is really what the regulation is. Okay? That's what they're saying. What happened? Okay, it's complicated. Let's put it this way. When a person gives testimony as a child, that is, you know, as an adult, he says, I remember when I was a kid, this and this happened, and so on. Well, first of all, maybe you didn't understand what was going on. Okay? Maybe your memory isn't so good at this particular point as to what happened many years ago when you were a kid. child or something like that. Or maybe there was something, I don't know, unusual about the circumstance, and this is not the normal practice, period. That's it. This is what the question is. So, and this is what they're telling him is really the latter thing. Namely, this is not the practice, and even if you tell me, you know, that you did it when you were a child, but it doesn't mean that therefore this was the right thing to
do. But he said he did it in front of Rabbi Tarfon.
Right, okay. No. So.
And Rabbi Tarfon didn't correct him.
Rabbi Tarfon did not correct him, is what he's saying. Not only Rabbi Tarfon didn't correct him, but those sages who were there in the yeshiva together, Rabbi Tarfon also didn't correct
him. Right.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Okay.
But
they say you
argument.
Cannot bring us an argument based on that. It's a personal experience, but that doesn't mean that that's necessarily the rule, okay? Tanya, we have a similar case. Omar Rabbi. Rabbi, you know Rabbi Yehuda, as he said, Koton Hoyisi, I was a child, the Korisiho of Alaba Rabbi Yehuda, and I read it in the presence of Rabbi Yehuda, right? So it shows that, you know, here I am, I was a child then, and still, and I read it before Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda said, you know, he didn't object, he said, it's all right, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Omru Lai, so they said to him, Eim Vi Rayim in Amatir. Says, what are you trying to prove to us? It's Mishnah says specifically that what? That Rabbi Yehuda is Machshav Kotan, right? That specifically, he says it's okay to accept,
right.
You know, to accept the reading of a minor.
Right.
Okay? But that's, again, what? That's his personal view. But it's not necessarily our view. Instead, now they say, the labor lays, and why didn't they say to him, Ein Mavin Raya Min HaKotan, the same, you know, as was said previously,
right
by Rabbi Yehuda. So it says, Chana V'yod Kavalei. They gave him one reason, and they gave him also an additional reason, namely, Chada, number one, Takim Mat, the Kotan HaYisah, right? Okay? You were a minor, and therefore, you know, we cannot rely upon the fact that you are saying that you were a minor and you were given permission to do it. Okay? Right. The old, and the other thing, Afila Godol HaYisah, right? Even if you were already an adult, and this doesn't mean necessarily, you know, the same person, but even an adult, period, Ein Mavin Raya Min HaMatir, don't bring proof from someone who specifically says that it is permissible. Which doesn't mean, of course, to say that what? That someone who says it's permissible has to be wrong. But it's a question, you know, we go into the problem over here of what we call Yochid V'Rabim. Yochid is an individual, the Rabim is the majority. Now, as a normal rule, the halacha would follow the Rabim, the majority, because it's written, you know, Achri Rabim Latos, which means that you have to decide questions of law in accordance with the rule of the majority in this particular case. All right.
Also, that you can't, from a logical point of view, take necessarily one experience to be a rule for the general experience.
Right.
Also, I think there's a circularity of reasoning here. I mean, if the proponent is going against the weight of everyone else, states a certain practice, then it's not much proof to come along and say, well, I was the disciple of this proponent, and that's going to prove that the learned assembly was generally in favor. I mean, that's exactly what they're saying.
Yeah, right.
It's a circular reasoning.
Right. Yeah. Rashi concludes over there in his commentary over there.
Right.
It says, "Harei Rabbi Mcholken Alav." There are plenty of authorities who disagree with it.
Right.
So you know that in itself is not proof. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. So with that, we finished the Gemara on the previous Mishnah. Now we have a new Mishnah beginning in the middle of this page, and it deals with a variety of subjects. As we'll see in a moment, the basic reason, however, is the fact that these are all things which have to be done by day, according to the ruling of the Torah. Okay? All right. So, the first one is Ein Kodesh HaMegillah. You're not allowed to read the Megillah except when it is daytime. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't read it the night before, because we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, right, that actually you are required to read the Megillah both at night and then the following day. So what he's talking about over here is, when actually does the day start? This is the question that I'm going to ask. When does the day start? Okay? So that the daytime reading, you know, would be in fulfillment of the obligation to read the Megillah during the day. All right, so that's one case. Yeah, right. Well, we'll see in a minute. It's a little bit more lenient than that. But the point is, nevertheless, let's say if you do have to leave earlier, you can still read it all day long. That's the idea. Any time during the day. Okay? Below mulling, a bris has to take place when? During the day. It has to be during the day. Below Tavlin, and this is a special case, I mean, because we're not talking at this particular case about a woman who, is finished with her menstrual period, and she's finished with what we call the period of Nida, which follows after that as well, because it has to be 7 days, 7 clean days, Shiva Nakim, as we say, after she has finished, okay? We're not talking about that. We're talking about over here that in general, if a person, let's say, had become tummy, okay, maybe by being in contact with the dead or whatever it may be, if you pick up a dead reptile, for example, it would also make you tummy. Of course, I mean, to us today, this is theoretical simply because we're all technically tummy. You understand? But in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, you were not allowed to come into the Beis HaMikdash unless you were in the state of Tara. You had to be in the state of purity, cleanliness, whatever you want to say, okay? So in order to do that, obviously you had to go and toivel yourself. You had to immerse yourself in a mikveh prior to going into the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, you know, in the Beis HaMikdash, very often people would go, not just the Davin, I mean, but people would go and they would bring sacrifices, and no sacrifice can be eaten unless it is by people in the state of Tara. So, therefore, when normally would be, for these cases, the time, you know, to be Tovel? So the answer is during the day. Okay? Umbazin. Below Mazin. Mazin is the sprinkling with the Mayim, the May Ephra Parah. In other words, the waters of the ashes of the red heifer, right? So that has to be done also during the day, because over there, the stress is if you came in contact with a dead person, this is primarily what it deals with, right? So automatically it became Tomei. And you had to go through the ritual, not just of, you know, immersing yourself in the mikveh, but also you had to be sprinkled with hyssop, you know, which was dipped into the water, right, the holy water, if you wish, okay? and then the Kohen would sprinkle it over you. And this is the way you were pronounced ritually clean. From the tomb, okay? Of course, also the 7 days were involved in that, and had it be sprinkled on the third day and on the seventh day, you know, this is what we read a few weeks ago, we read Parsha Chukas. This is the very first thing that they do. Okay, so that also is for the day, okay? V'chein shemes yoim keneged yoim. And likewise, in the case of a woman who has to watch one day against another day. meaning what? Here we're dealing with a woman who has had her regular period. She's finished, 7 days have passed, but she still continues to bleed after that. So, if it's 1 day, and then she stops, then in that particular case, it means that the following day, she can travel herself, and the same thing, the second day. If it's the third day, then we say that she's already a confirmed Zova, okay? And in that case, when she becomes clean after a while, she has to bring korbans and everything else and so on. So, at any rate, when can she immerse herself? The answer is, again, also during the day. So these are all activities which are right? She's not allowed to immerse herself. And now here comes the general rule. One of these things can be done, if they have to be done during the day as prescribed. They cannot be done prior to, that's what it means over here, prior to Netzachama. Or Ho Netzachama is an expression, but people are simply talking about Netz, okay, or Netzachama. What do we mean by Netzachama or Ho Netzachama? It means that time when the sun begins to flourish in the sky. Sits in the flower in the sky, okay? But what it means is, this is sunrise. This is really sunrise, okay? Right. So, it should not be done before sunrise, okay? The chulon she'osu b'shol amud ha'shachar kosher. However, any of these activities, if they were done prior to sunrise, but after the time that the morning star appears, then you would be yotzei. You would be in fulfillment. Okay.
Really much more,
yeah. So, you know, there is a time span between the time that the morning star appears in the sky, and it's still quite dark outside at that point. Okay. And the time when the sun actually rises. Now, we know, of course, that in the interim period, it gets gradually lighter and lighter in the sky, and then eventually, you know, you're able to begin, as the Gemara and the Bracha says, you know, you can recognize, let's say, a person whom you're familiar with, right? Or you can tell the difference between a dog and a wolf or something like that, and so on, if you remember, right?
Blue and green,
exactly, and so on, right? These are all different things. Now, these are all different stages, in other words, that, you know, it becomes more and more light so that you're able to recognize, and therefore it means that this is already the start of day, even though officially you should wait till sunrise for the start of the day. I'll come to that in a minute. Okay. Right. All right. But first, let me say, right, I mean, I heard David talking about what he saw at the Kotel. There are the Gemara and Brachas. Oh, you heard of it only. Okay.
You've probably seen it.
Okay. The Gemara and Brachas recommends that Kriya Shema in the morning should be recited just prior to Netz HaChama, and precisely at the moment of Netz HaChama, this is when you begin the Shmona Esrei. This is recommended. So that, therefore, you'll find that many, you know, strictly frum communities, that you'll find that there is what they call a Netz Minyan. People personally get up in order that they should be able to fulfill the mitzvah in the proper time. It comes from the word tzitz, which means flower, because there is another word, netz in Hebrew, as a noun. Netz that means a hawk. Blossom, right, okay, but not to be confused with the word netz, which means a hawk.
Yeah, right, that's a good point. I never thought of that.
But the buses that leave from Muncie at 5 in the morning in the winter, Yeah. So they can't say Shemona Esrei until when they first get on the bus.
Right. Yeah, there are buses that are adapted, you know, that they can daven on the bus itself. Exactly.
They leave too early, actually.
Right.
So you're supposed to, you wait till Shemona Esrei.
Right. Yeah. Naturally, if we were not around at that particular time, then in that case, you'd make the best of the situation. But this is the most desirable time for davening Shabbos, okay?
And
okay, the fast starts with Amud HaShachar, not with sunrise, but begins with when the morning star appears. Okay.
You gotta get up early.
So that therefore, for example, when I calculate these things, so I calculate it on the basis that I look first to find out when the sunrise. Then the recommended time is 72 minutes prior to sunrise is Amud HaShachar, okay? And then I usually allow 2 or 3 minutes before, just to make sure that you're not going to run overtime or something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
But there are others, you know, that are even stricter than I am. I have to tell you. I'm thinking, it's enough. You're saying with my calculation too. I say there are those who are even fussier than me. For example, let's say Shavuot and Tabbos, which I said you have begin fasting at 4 in the morning. They say stop about 3:35 or something like that in the morning. Okay. At any rate, all right. So we have established then that all these activities have to be carried on during the day. And when does the day begin? Begins with Honetzach Chama, recommended time, right, sunrise. But if you had to get up earlier and you did it any time after the morning star appeared in the sky, then in that case you are Yotze, you have fulfilled the mitzvah. Okay. So now they want to show where do we know, you know, from the Torah that these activities have to take place during the day. Okay? Manala, how do we know this? What is the source for this? So he says, the Omakra, all right, the first one that they discussed, remember, is the reading of the Megillah. They said that the reading the Megillah during the day, you cannot do it any earlier than what? Than Neitzachama, technically, right? But if you had done it any time, you know, after the Amud HaShachar, then you would be Yotze. You understand? But how do we know, you know, the Megillah must be read during the day? Because it's written, the Hayomim Ha'ele, right? And these days, Nizkorim and Asir, right? Are to be remembered and are to be observed. And we already interpreted several dapim back that Nizkorim and Asir refers to the reading of the Megillah and the fulfillment of the other mitzvahs of the Purim, as for example, Matanos Levyoidim, right, to give gifts to the poor, or to Mishloach Manos, that's been doing the day. It's not really right to give Shalach Manos at night. Shalach Manos should be given during the day, okay. Better to give than not to, but technically, there's no question. I mean, that the mitzvah of giving Shalach Manos is really a daytime mitzvah, okay? All right. So, if it says Hayamim Ha'eleh Nizkor Nasim, so it's Bayom In, right? Yes, if it is during the day, but Balayla Lo, at night. No, remember the word in Aramaic means yes. It means yes, and it looks so much like the Hebrew word, which is just the opposite of meaning, the negative, right? But okay. So it says, Lema, is this to say to Yuftan Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi? Is this in a contradiction to the opinion given by Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi? The young Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, he said, Chayev Adam Nikos has Megillah Balaylov, the Shneis of Ayon. He said, you have to read the Megillah at night and to repeat it again during the day. So, it says, the Gemara concludes, Ki Katani Ad Yom. What we're talking about over here is the mitzvah of reading the Megillah during the day. that it has to be during the day. But there's no question that what? That you have to read it both at night and then repeat it again by day. There was a whole discussion that we had earlier in the Masechta about this, okay? Because some wanted to say maybe Lishnoisa means simply to study the text or something like that rather than to read it. But when we proved that the word Lishnoisa over here is from the root of, you know, Shnayim, Shene, Shnei, so you understand? In other words, Shene, you know, they're all the same root, you know, meaning, you know, second. Okay, you have to read it second time during that. Hello, Molin. Now, how do we know that you're not supposed to perform a bris except during daytime? So it says, Dichsir, the Pasuk says, what? Uvayom Hashmini Yimol Besar Loso, that on the eighth day after he's been born, the flesh of his foreskin has to be circumcised. Okay. And how do we know that the tefillah that we're talking about in connection with tumah, right, or the sprinkling that has to be undergone, how do we know that they are both daytime activities? The siv, the pasuk says, v'hizah ha-torah al-tomei, right, that the kohen who happens to be in a state of purity has to sprinkle the tomei, the person, you know, who has been made impure, by Yom Hashvi'i, on the seventh day. So that inasmuch as it says, you know, he's on, so Iskrish Tevilah Hazir. And we make a comparison between both the immersion and also the sprinkling. All right. Then the Chen Shemes Yom Keneged Yom, Vasid Balad Shoton Sachaman. How do we know in the case of this woman that we said, who is seeing whether she has a clean day after going through a period of her normal menstrual cycle and so on, so she cannot in this particular case immerse herself until the sun shines. So Peshitta, it's obvious why should she be any different than all the others, you know, who are obligated to toil themselves? So he answers, Itzarech, no, I need a special teaching for her. Why? Because Salko Date Echamina, you might think that I should say that the comparison is to the first time that a Zov, the man who has a flow from his flesh. We usually think it's like I got a real flow or something like that, okay?
Talking about,
he's a zav.
No.
We're not talking about seminal fluid. We're not talking about that. We're talking about that in addition there's something coming out of it. It's white appearance, it's a liquidy, it doesn't look right. It doesn't look like what semen should look like, okay? So, the first time that Azov sees it, right? Of course, it becomes unclean. But yeah, Rishon Hashanah is Krishna Valkyrie. However, the first time that Azov notices it is compared to the same case as a person who has a seminal emission. Dichsiv, as it is written, Zos Taras Hazov, right? This is the law, both for the man who is suffering from ziva, right? And also, where shechva zera, in other words, you know, seminal fluid comes from him. So, and ma balkeri tegel bayoim, just as somebody who, a man who has had a seminal emission, immerses himself during the day, so hainame mitbo biyome. So the zov also can immerse himself in the day. So, the Hobi Imamav, however, during the daytime, we cannot find that she is permitted to do it, because for her there's a different Pasuk. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Kol Yimei Zova, all the days that she is in this state of gonorrhea, so to speak, it's Kemishkav Nidaso Yiyela. It is, it's as if she were in a state of, Nida. Okay, and Nida, remember, requires not less than 7 days, okay? So, they say, But maybe at night she should be able, you know, to see and sit well, and she should travel herself at night. So, Kamash Balon, from this we learn, Kevin the Baya Spira, inasmuch as she also has to count how many days it is, and in that particular case, okay, next sheet. Okay. Spira Biyamomahi. We find that counting is also a daytime activity, because we say 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, etc. So this is okay. Alright. Then the Gemara continues with discussion the next part of the Mishnah, which says, for Kulan Shehosu Mishola Abad HaShachar Kosher. But in all these cases, if the morning star has already appeared, then it is valid, right? So, how do we know this? So again, we're going to see the differences of opinion. What is the source in the language of the Bible for this? So Omar Rava came up with the following. He said, the Omar Krat, the Pasuk says, Vayikra Elohim Lahor Yom. God called the light day. In other words, the Meir Vakra Yom. In other words, as it gets lighter and lighter, so that is already day. Okay? We're on Krav. Yeah. On the base. 20B. We're on 20B now.
Oh, so you're sharing it more.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Oh, I left you behind, Ellen. Sorry.
Wait.
Where is
yours?
2?
20B1. 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 I got 20B.
Okay. I
don't
know
if
it
was
or two. Yeah.
The other, this. 40 is okay?
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
I'm looking at
they have
the right words. Okay.
So, all right. So, in other words, Rava said then that because God called the light day, right? So, as it gets lighter and lighter, it is day, even if it's what? Prior to sunrise. Get the idea?
Yeah.
Even though it's prior to sunrise. So, Ela Beato, so the Gemara raises an objection. So,
it's
yeah,
the same,
that's.
Excuse me,
yeah.
You gave me the same one.
Oy vey, oy vey.
I'm saying I don't know.
Oy vey.
I thought I'd be prepared.
If it's not light yet,
yeah.
You're talking about the end of the Shahar.
I don't think so. No, I'm not sure about that. Does that say 40 on top?
40, yes, it does.
Let me see.
Yeah, and
well,
that's
right
it.
Here.
Okay,
so
my apologies.
That's right.
Bill?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You got it,
does it start with Sephira?
I think it's
here. Right. Where's Sephira?
This
is the one.
All right, what we're saying is that once it begins to get light.
So
automatically, even though it's not yet sunrise, but nevertheless, it's already valid if you perform the mitzvah at that particular time. That's what we're saying.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
In other words, you see light coming, but the sun hasn't risen yet.
That is correct. Right. You know, take a look. You see, first the sky begins to get lighter. Okay,
yeah.
You know, look
yeah.
in the east and so on. You see that, right? And then gradually, more and more light. You know, as far as the earth is concerned, even though it's still it's not daylight.
Is that the same
yeah.
time when you'd be saying the Shema?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
sure. Correct.
Maybe.
Correct.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, because we said you do it just prior to sunrise. Okay. You know. Ideally, right?
Ideally.
So that would be so, right. So he objects, however, they object to this interpretation of Rava. They say, Ela Beata, if that's the case. So what's the rest of the pasuk? It says, well, Achoshach Kavalaila, right? In other words, it should be interpreted as it gets darker and darker. It's already night. Okay? It's in parentheses, in the Machshach Kavalaila, but that's what it means. So it says, Hokai Melon, but don't we have a teaching which says the Atseis HaKoychovim Lav Lailahu, that until the stars actually appear, it is it's not night yet. Don't have to tell you that this is a tremendous problem, but I'll come back to that in a moment, okay? Elo Omar Rabbi Zeira, but Rabbi Zeira said, I have a different pasuk, he says for you. This is taken from the book of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, okay, where it relates how Nehemiah got the work organized so that they could begin rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, even though the enemies of the Jews were causing all kinds of tzoras and attacking them.
Right.
Okay?
Day
sounds.
Night,
yeah,
guards
yeah.
At night,
right, right. So
night.
The Pasuk says, Vadatu Oisim Bablocha, we were doing our work, right? The Chetzim, half of the people, Masikim Bermachim, were grabbing, were holding on to their spears, Me'alos HaShacha at Seis HaKochavim, from the time that the morning star appeared, right, until the time that the stars appeared in the evening, okay? In other words, from early in the morning till early at night, right? The Omer, and it says furthermore, Lano HaLaila LeMishmar, right? That the night is for us in order to do guard duty. So, Maiva Omer, not why I have to add the next part. The Chi Temor, should you say, Mishael Amud HaShacha, Love Yemoma, if you want to argue that when the morning star appears, it's still not day, right? Umechi Arba Shimsha Laila, and if you want to say that as soon as it begins, as the sun begins to darken, so to speak, it's night. The Inu Mekadmi Machshachay, and they would start their work early, right, and finish when it got dark. So Toshma, this is the reason why it says, Lanu Alayla Mishma Vayom Melocha, that the day, that the night is for guard duty, and the night, and the day for doing labor. Okay, I just want to finish with this problem of times with davening that we have, okay? There are ideal times, and there are times of which you're yotze, okay? In other words, if you did it, you at least fulfilled the mitzvah, okay? As we see, I mean, just as in the case, you know, where Rabbi Yehuda is marshal Bekotten, he says, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, a cotton is also right, but then they said that that's not the ideal situation, and so they wouldn't accept it on that basis. With morning services, okay, the time technically is from Netzachama, from sunrise, okay?
Netzachama,
right, that's the technical beginning of the day, as I said, technical, okay, until Shkia, which is the time when the sun sets, just dips by below the horizon, okay? That's daytime.
That's the end of daytime.
All right, so that being the case, then what we do is to divide the time between Netzachama and Shkia by 12, and that gives us the hour for that particular day. Every day has a different hour, depending upon how many, you know, when it's sunrise and when the sunset. That's why I have to always go to these astronomical tables in order to figure out, you know, when there's licht benchen, when there's a fast begin, when there's a fast end, and things like that. And so, okay? Because obviously it varies, you know, from day to day and from season to season. Of course, very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that being the case, then we go back to the Gemara and Brachas that we learned. What did we learn in the Gemara and Brachas? There we learned that Kriya Shema, while it should be recited, as we said, just before Netzachama, but nevertheless, you have the first 3 hours of the morning.
The first watch.
Well, if you wish. I mean, the march is being mentioned during the night rather than during the day. Okay. Yeah. But, yeah. But of course, the first 3 hours doesn't mean 180 minutes on our time. It means 180 minutes according to the time of that particular day. Okay? That should be the ideal time for any time within. You still have fulfilled, you know, the bracha, etc., you know, the same Shema Yisrael. Okay. Shmona Esra, you have an additional hour. You have through the first 4 hours. Okay. The truth of the matter is, however, what happens if you didn't have a chance to do it earlier, for whatever reason, then in that case, you have really up to noon. Up to noon, you'll still get some credit for it. Okay. You won't get an A for the course, but you'll get the Chveis, a B, a C, whatever it may be. Okay.
Right. 5 and 12, you're going to see my...
Okay. Now, right, we'll learn again what the Gemara said. It's not mentioned over here, but it will be mentioned shortly again, that they'll quote the Gemara. What about Musaf? So the answer is, Musaf technically can be said all day long, but Rabbi Yehuda says no, because during the first 7 hours, that's when they would sacrifice on the Beis HaMikdash, and after that he felt that the time was gone. But that's not the opinion. You see, Rabbi Yehuda can argue, very often the halakha will follow Rabbi Yehuda, but also Rabbi Yehuda can argue and the halakha doesn't follow him. So if you didn't have a chance to say Musaf, you know, during the first 7 hours of the day, you could still say it later than that. Okay? All right. With Myrav, this is now another problem that we have, okay? Because if we were to wait over here in Springfield until it gets, until the stars appear in the sky, we would be here, come back again at 9 o'clock in the evening or 9:15 or whatever it may be in order to dump, which is fine in New York, you know, where they have yeshivas and so on, where the people know already, but you can't do it over here. So that therefore we have to rely upon other, leniences. Other leniences. Okay. What is a leniency? First of all, Gemara again in Brochas says that Mincha can be all afternoon. Okay? Technically, I mean, once the time of Shacharis, once noon is passed, then technically it should be Mincha time. We are a little bit more Moscow than that. We don't begin, but usually people will begin, let's say, anywhere from a half hour past noon. Again, remember the hours that we're talking about. It's the beginning, and that was what we would call non-Mincha Gedola. In other words, the longest possible stretch of time in which you can have a Mincha. And then we had what we had, Mincha Katana. That is three hours prior to sunset.
Prior to what?
Prior to sunset is Mincha Katana.
Is that what's called clock?
No. Rabbi Huda comes and he says, no, you can't take advantage of that. Instead, you have to cut that in half. So that's what they call plag mitzvah. An hour and a half prior to sunset. Okay. So, that being the case, this is the justification that we have, because when we daven at 7 o'clock in the evening, we are already past the point of plag mitzvah. Okay? So we're relying really upon Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in that particular case to say that Myrav already begins at that point. Okay?
Wait, plag mincha is what's saying that you only have an hour and a
plag
half
means
before,
half, right.
Well, an hour and a half before
right.
sunset in
right.
which to daven.
Okay. An hour and 20 minutes, I mean. It's easier to remember an hour and a half, but an hour and 20 minutes.
In terms of the shachrit for 3 hours for the Shema, 4 hours for
right.
Shemona Esrei, that's from Neitz Chama. Neitz Chama is the start?
Neitz Chama,
right.
Needless to say, there are authorities who are more machmir. They'll take it from Amud HaShachar and so on and so forth. But
when you do what you do here, don't you have to say like the Shema or something?
Oh, well, that's another story. In other words, Shema should be recited after the stars appear in the sky any time from
How
that
much
point
of the
out.
Shema? Just
the three paragraphs.
The three paragraphs?
Correct. So that if we have David Myrav over here, we don't have to repeat the Myrav service per se. You know, the brachas, the Shemona Esrei, that you don't repeat. But what you should do is before you go to bed, at any time before you go to bed, read the three paragraphs of the Shema instead of just the first paragraph. That's all.
Say that again. What's that? Instead of the.
If you take a look at the average sitter,
right,
what we call Krishma Lamita, in other words, reciting Shema
right.
as you're ready to go to sleep, we say just the first paragraph of the Shema.
Right.
But if you're obligated to do. Two and three, you throw in two and three at the same time already, at the same guilt. Yeah. Yes.
Right. Back in, you know, we're talking back in the second century.
Right.
4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Did they have a sense of time?
Yes, absolutely.
Did they have a
First
real
of
sense
all,
of time in terms
yes,
of so many
they
hours
did.
After noon or so many hours.
I mean, there were good mathematical calculations. I mean, let's not minimize it.
Right.
So that
they had to
and then look, even if they didn't have clocks in those days, but you know that they had sundials in those days. That they had, even the Romans had invented some kind of a system whereby water would flow through a clock or something, and they were able to tell time by that. Or, you know, that's sort of the same principle that we have, these egg timers, you know, where you turn it upside down and so on, right.
Yeah,
so,
an hourglass.
An hourglass, right. Yeah. So, you know, they had different ways of figuring it out. But we mustn't assume that, you know, just because they didn't have the clocks that we have today, that therefore they were ignorant of time. Obviously
they
not. They knew what was going on.
A couple of people I've read.
Yeah.